You are a Locked On Braves postcast, part of Locked On Sports Atlanta, your team every day.
And hello and welcome into the Braves postcast, part of the all-new Locked On Sports Atlanta. Grant McCauley alongside Jake Mastriani for what was another good day for the Braves on the road. And we were just talking right before we jumped on here. There haven't been as many of those as we would like to see this year. The Braves with back-to-back wins in Miami have finally salted away a series win on the road. So a lot of good stuff to talk about after this 4-3 victory. And we're going to get to all of it in a moment. Before we do, though, I want to remind you that you need to be subscribing here on the YouTube channel to Locked On Sports Atlanta. Make sure you click the bell, get those notifications whenever we drop a new episode. And also make sure you subscribe to Locked On Braves wherever you get your podcast. You'll get every episode of the Braves postcast, as well as all the other stuff that Jake has for you all season long. Well, Jake, I think we're going to have a lot of good stuff to talk about in this one. The Braves grab a 4-3 victory. There was a little bit of, I don't know, anxiety, if you will, at the end of it. But Kenley Jansen able to slam the door, able to work out of trouble. And the Braves able to make four runs stand up for a 4-3 victory on a day where it seemed like really nothing came easy, did it?
Yeah, no. I mean, it's one of those wins, you know, like you said, nothing came easy. But those games haven't necessarily gone the Braves' way a lot this year. And tonight it did. So you'll definitely take it.
No, you certainly will. There were a lot of different things that all came together to make this win possible, and we're going to talk about them right now. Let's take you back through the line score. Game number 40 for the Braves, who improve to 19-21 on the season. Four runs, nine hits, an error, seven men left on base. Marlins dropped to 17-22. They scored three runs on eight hits, no errors, and nine men left on base for them. Kyle Wright, 4-2 on the season, picking up the win. Eliezer Hernandez takes a loss, drops to 2-4, and it was save number 10 for Kenley Jansen. Game lasted 3 hours, 28 minutes. 13,264 fans were on hand to see it. Let's start with Kyle Wright. It seemed like, and I tweeted this out, in the second inning, Kyle Wright may not be long for this game as he was approaching 50 pitches with two outs and Jazz Chisholm at the plate. It just kind of felt like maybe this is where the game kind of starts to come unraveled if Wright can't get very deep into this contest. I thought it was going to take a lot for him to get through five innings, and as it turns out, Jake, he was able to settle in and get through those five innings and keep the Marlins off the board.
Yeah, I think I sent some similar tweets early in that game because he just, what, almost a 30-pitch first inning, just was not able to locate at all. I mean, you watched where William was setting up behind the plate, and the pitches from Wright were nowhere near where his glove was. So he just had no control in those first couple of innings. And like you said, I didn't think he'd be around long. I thought this might be another kind of not troubling start, but that's not, you know, not necessarily what we'd like to see from Kyle Wright, what we saw early on in April. But able to turn things around, get out of that jam in the second inning, like you said, and the first inning, and get through five innings. That's certainly huge, and keep the Marlins off the board and keep the Braves in the game.
Yeah, and that's really what you want your starting pitcher to do, is to give you a chance to win that game, work at least five, if not a little bit more. And Kyle Wright was able to do that despite the high pitch count. 30-pitch first inning, over 50 pitches after two, needed about 40 pitches to get through the next three frames. He was able to settle in. And I know there's that kind of that old adage sometimes where it's not necessarily where it's just all, he just doesn't have control, doesn't know where it's going. But sometimes your pitches have a lot of extra movement, a little bit of extra life. It seemed like the fastball, especially upstairs, Jake, was kind of amped up just a bit. And that seemed to be what was causing Kyle Wright a little bit more trouble, just trying to dial it in and maybe just get some of the focus that he needs to have in order to be successful. But hey, the Marlins were unable to take advantage of their many opportunities against him, and he was able to hand it over to the Braves bullpen. And Jackson Stevens, let's talk about him before we jump into what happened offensively, because we've got an offensive star in this game too to get to. But this is the kind of thing that I think throughout the course of the season, and when you talk about next man up, when you talk about getting the depth challenged in a particular area of this team, the bullpen has been one of those places, especially with Matzik now on the injured list. Luke Jackson is out. You're asking a lot of Spencer Strider, of course, to step in and become a guy, and I think he can. But Jackson Stevens is a little bit of a less heralded hero for the Braves. But on this day, five big outs for him, getting Darren O'Day out of some trouble and helping get the Braves lead safe through seven.
Yeah, I thought that was one of the bigger moments of the game until the very end, obviously when Kenley got the save, which we'll get into. But I thought that was a huge moment in this ball game. Look, when your starter only goes five, you got to find somebody to get through that sixth inning. And I think it's going to be Darren O'Day and Colin McHugh that gets the call there most often than not. Darren O'Day just did not have it tonight. And Jackson Stevens came in, got huge outs to get out of that sixth inning. Coming back out, giving them another inning is just, you know, great right there from him, and huge, and really helped save the bullpen a little bit there. So you could go Minter and Jansen to finish things off. So yeah, I thought that was a huge moment in this game for the Braves and for Jackson Stevens, getting some huge outs right there. Big strikeout with a runner at third there, less than two outs.
Yeah, it really just helps because, you know, as you just alluded to, you're going to have to use, I think, some different combinations of pitchers, because you're not going to be able to throw the same three guys every single night for 162 games. So, yeah, it's great to have maybe three top relievers in your bullpen, but the combination of relievers it takes to get through the sixth inning or the seventh inning in order to get to Jansen and perhaps Minter, Matzik, and the like, Will Smith and the likes, is going to be, I think, a little bit different in those middle frames. And Jackson Stevens really did come up big to help bail out Darren O'Day. But how did the Braves build up this lead? Well, I can tell you in part was on the bat of William Contreras. He was at it again. I like to call him Wild Bill on Twitter. I don't know if he likes it or not, but I'm sure enjoying it. And he hit two home runs. I'm sure he enjoyed those. I know Braves fans did. Six home runs now for Mr. Contreras, and I believe 33 at bats this year. I would say, Jake, we always knew that he had some power in that bat, but he is showing it at a different level this year in limited opportunities, clearly because the Braves have Travis d'Arnaud, so he's not going to be catching every day. But when he gets a shot, it seems like every now and again, William Contreras is going to come in and show off, and he did that in Miami today.
Yeah, and opposite field power and a pretty big ballpark as well. So, yeah, I mean, the kid has a ton of power. We've always kind of known that. And, you know, it's kind of unfortunate, even though Snicker's done it, and I think he may have to continue doing it, but it's kind of unfortunate he's the backup catcher, and you may not see him in that DH role, you know, when Travis d'Arnaud is starting at catcher. I know Snicker's done it, and he may, like I said, may have to continue to do that, because this guy definitely gives you some thump at the bottom of the order. And yeah, it's great to see it. You know, a kid that's gone back and forth, had his struggles defensively, and I think he's actually made a lot of improvement there this season from what I've seen behind the plate. And so the power coming along as well, like we said, we've always known that's been there. So great to see it. Great to see him breaking out and giving the Braves a huge lift today, and they needed every single run that they got.
Yeah, as it turned out, they certainly did. We'll talk a little bit more about those runs, about the late innings, and about some of the other things that were going right for the Braves, and a couple of trends that I think we've seen going on for a while, and we'll see how those might be changing in the future. We'll get to all of that. That's a kind of an odd tease, but we'll get to it, I promise that. But first, I want to tell you about Built Bar, because summer is coming. You're going to need some food on the go. Built Bars are the perfect snack to take with you on family vacations. You can throw them in your bags, in your kid's backpack. Make sure everybody has a bar so you're fueled for your summer adventures. Right now, you can go to Built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, and get 15% off your entire order. That is LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. So as I look at this with William Contreras being one of the players in question here, and then clearly Ronald Acuña Jr. is serving as the club's DH right now, which, among other things, has Marcelo Zuna playing left field, and it has Travis DeMeritt out in right field as kind of the surrogate for Acuña right now, because somebody has to play that position, and you're kind of down an outfielder with Eddie Rosario out. So to make a long question very short, Travis DeMeritt is mired in a slump right now. He is 0 for his last 25. I think at some point, you know, you're going to have to sit him down a little bit. You'll get Acuña back out in right field. Maybe that will open the door at DH for William Contreras. And if DeMeritt continues to have a lot of trouble finding his way on base, I would think, I don't know that it'll necessarily push Ronald out into right field every single night, but some of those DH at bats, you want to get him William Contreras' way if you can. But I can understand why Brian Snitker is kind of between a bit of a rock and a hard place here in choosing who's going to be the DH, because in a perfect world, you want it to be Marcelo Zuna so he doesn't have to play the outfield every day. So it's a lot to go here. What do you make of all of that?
Yeah, it's difficult. Look, I love talking lineup construction and who should play where and where they go in the lineup and all that. And it's great to have the DH, because otherwise, who knows if Ronald would be playing for the Braves right now. So I'm glad we have it, but it is kind of complicating things to a degree, because like you said, that should be Marcelo Zuna's spot. You pencil him in there every day. He does not belong in the outfield. I'll just leave it at that. I think most people understand that at this point. Mm-hmm. But it's tough, because you don't want to put Ronald out there right now, obviously, with what he's got, what he has going on. And you have to put Ozuna out there. And I think you have to put Travis out there. I mean, what's the alternative right now? It's a tough situation for Brian Snitker, because he's kind of pinholed into this lineup that he has to put, because Ronald needs to be at the DH position right now. If Ronald's in right field, everything works out perfectly, and hopefully he gets to that point where you can run him out there every day. But it is unfortunate for Travis. Look, he was huge for the Braves when he came up at a time when they desperately needed something. He batted leadoff for the Braves for a while and did great there. But he has definitely cooled off some here. You can kind of just see the body language, too. He knows that he's struggling a little bit. Came up in a big spot tonight. Runners on second, third, one out, and hits a little dribbler back to the mound. Can't get the job done. I thought maybe that was going to be a moment for him to drive in a run there and maybe kind of break out of it. And now it just looks like the slump's continuing even more. So I hate to see that. I love Travis, and I love what he did for the Braves this year, what he brought at a time where, again, they really needed him. But it is making it very difficult right now for Brian Snicker. What you going to do? Because Travis has also made some great plays in the outfield as well and been able to run down some balls. So he's giving you something there.
Yeah, he has given him something there quite a few times. I mean, including in the opener in the series against Miami. But an 0-for-25 slump, as you mentioned, I mean, body language or not, you know, Travis DeMeritt realizes it's been a hot minute since he's picked up a base hit or been out on base very much, if at all, here lately over the past week or so. So you'd like to see that change for him. But right now, I do think he is the answer for one of those outfield spots defensively as you go on through the season. If Drew Waters continues to play well, maybe we finally see that long-awaited debut. And if Waters comes up, does that mean Michael Harris will jump up to AAA Gwinnett? Does it matter where Waters is before Michael Harris is playing at AAA Gwinnett? Those are all questions that we can ask on a future episode of the Braves Postcast or perhaps Locked On Braves. But let's get back to a couple of other things in this game that I thought were certainly noteworthy. Dansby Swanson with the glove again in the fourth inning to rob Anderson of a base hit. One of his all-time best plays. The only one I could think of that was that much better for me was the one he made in September of 2018 against the Arizona Diamondbacks with the tying runs on base and two outs in the 10th inning, robs a base hit, throws home of all things, and gets a runner for the final out. That is probably the only headier, better Dansby Swanson play that I can come up with. And I don't want to let recency bias creep in, but this coming across the middle, 360 throw, and get a pretty fast runner at first base, impressive stuff. And it just underscores how good he has been with the glove here in 2022. It's one of the reasons why he is rated, if you look at outs above average, as one of the best defenders in all of baseball here this season.
Yeah, it was really an amazing play. And I love the glove work, how he just keeps the glove down and doesn't try to jerk at the ball at the last second that you see a lot of players do on that. But more impressive to me was the throw. Like you said, the 360 spin and the throw is right on the money. I mean, that was just unbelievable. I feel like he's made a ton of plays like that over the past week. And Austin Riley with a great play in this game as well. I know he's struggling at the plate right now, but he is at least picking it over there at third base again. We mentioned it the other day. The defense was not great in that Padres series, but they have really picked it back up since then and been the defense we thought they would be on the infield especially. But Dansby Swanson, when he made that play, I said, I don't want to jinx it, but this looks like a gold glove season for Dansby Swanson.
It certainly does. If he's making plays like that, it's going to be hard to deny when you have the eye test and when you have the test with analytics and anything else you want to throw at it. Dansby Swanson, one of the best defenders in baseball this year. Brought up Ronald Acuna Jr. a little bit earlier when we were talking about, you know, what spot is the best spot for him. Well, I can tell you leadoff's a good spot for him. He was 1-for-3, couple of walks, scored a run, stole a base. He's got 8 steals in 14 games. If you're scoring at home, that's a pace of 93 steals over the course of a 162-game season. So if you were curious about whether Ronald was going to continue running, the answer to that is yes, and it doesn't look like he's going to stop anytime soon. He's now just 3 stolen bases off the major league lead, and he's done all of that in 14 games. I want to tell you about game 3 of this series. That's where we're going to stop next. Before we do, though, I have to let you know about betonline.net. As our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info, you can find the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's NBA playoffs, MLB scores, fights, and even next season's NFL futures. You can head on over to betonline.net today. Use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Now, the game will be starting on Sunday afternoon down in Miami at 1:40 Eastern time. First pitch for the Braves and the Marlins with Ian Anderson taking on Sandy Alcantara. This, I think, is going to be a fun matchup, and it's a chance for the Braves to grab a sweep against the Miami Marlins. And sweeps are something that we have heard about, but I'd sure love to see one.
Yeah, that would be a nice thing to have, wouldn't it? And the Braves honestly need it with where the slow start they've gotten to. They need a sweep every now and then, along with more of these series wins things that we're starting to see. But, you know, I was looking for one of these games to be kind of a blowout win, a stress-free type of game. After Jackson Stevens got out of this jam, I thought maybe the Braves would open it up a little bit and we could kind of cruise. Didn't happen, and I don't think that's going to happen on Sunday either with Alcantara on the mound. Very good pitcher, but the Braves starting pitching staff, you know, when they go out there, they're going to give you a chance to win. And I feel like Ian Anderson will do that again on Sunday. Hopefully he can go into the sixth inning, pitch deep into this one and keep the Braves in the game and give that offense a chance to hit some more homers, because they've been doing that well. And when they do that well, they win games. And we've already seen that in the first two.
Yeah, outside of that rough start, his first time out this season, Ian Anderson has been very solid. He has gotten the Braves to the fifth inning or perhaps beyond a little bit. You'll certainly be happy with five-plus innings out of him if it continues to be of the quality it's been over his last four or five starts. He's 3-2 on the year, 3.75, and the Marlins will throw Alcantara out there, 3-2 with a 2.49 ERA on the year. Again, a 1:40 p.m. first pitch time at Lone Depot Park as the Braves and Marlins will wrap up this weekend's festivities. And the Braves will be looking to celebrate a sweep of the Miami club with another win on Sunday behind Ian Anderson. That brings us to the close of this edition of the Braves Postcast. We appreciate you always, or as always, for joining us. This is part of the all-new Locked On Sports Atlanta. Make sure you subscribe here on YouTube and make sure Locked On Braves is wherever you get your podcasts. And also subscribe there, because you're going to get all kinds of good content, including this show and everything Jake has coming for you all season long. Lots of good stuff. And a very good day. Lots of good stuff we got to on this episode. He's Jake Mastroianni. I'm Grant McCauley. We look forward to talking to you soon, hopefully after another Braves win. You're finally in tonight. It was the Braves with a 4-3 victory over the Miami Marlins. We will catch you next time right here on the Braves Postcast. So long, everyone.